I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now that the weather is getting colder, and as we just heard in the news, much colder in certain parts of the upper Midwest, hot food is making its way back into the kitchen.
Well, one of the great things to eat when it's chilly outside is chili. So we thought for Food Friday this week, we'd talk to a chili expert.
And we've got a great one. Here to share his chili expertise with us is John Raven. He is a writer for TexasCooking.com. He has a couple of degrees we need to talk about, a PhD, that is a Doctor of Barbecue Philosophy, and a PhC, a Doctor of Chili Philosophy. John Raven, welcome to Central Time. And John Raven is there someplace. He should be here now. John, welcome to Central Time. Are you here now?
Thank you.
There we go. Sorry about that. We had a little confusion with buttons and all of that. I want to start out with your educational background because, as you know, the Central Time audience is highly educated, and titles mean a great deal to us. We've had PhDs here, MDs, BAs, MAs. We've never had a PhB or a PhC before. Tell me a little bit about how you earn those.
Well, the important part of my education we want to get first, which laid the basis for everything else, I am a high school graduate. I graduated from Taylor High School in 1956, and from there it's just been uphill. The PhB is Doctor of Barbecue Philosophy. That is one of 30 of the degrees or less that's been handed out in the world, and I got one for my work in the development and promotion of barbecue and the barbecue industry. The CHD is for my work in the chili world. That's a Doctor of Chili Philosophy. And I've been hanging around the chili world for 40 years now. So I've stirred a lot of chili in my time.
Well, you wrote that you learned to cook chili in large part through trial and error. What kind of errors did you make that you'd say steer clear of this to people trying to make their own chili?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
What kind of errors would you warn people away from when they're trying to cook their chili?
Oh, the first thing is it takes a while. It's not something you can throw together in 10 minutes. The basic natural chili meat is tough beef, which will need 3 or 4 hours of slow simmering to really get it to perfection. And other errors is not reading the recipe and not really understanding what you're doing. The basis of chili is the dried chili pepper. And I've heard of recipes that didn't include that, so that wouldn't make it chili. The official correct name for the dish we call chili is chili con carne, which is Spanish for chili with meat. And what it is, and basically, is meat cooked in a sauce made from the meat of the pepper plants.
I want to ask you a question about during the time you've been involved in not just making chili, but judging chili. It seems as though the stature of chili has gone way up. You know, when I was a kid, if we got chili out of a can, that was considered to be a pretty big deal, or my mom's Betty Crocker recipe. But today, it seems as though chili is really an excellent, fine, high-quality food product that everybody talks about, raves about, and tries to perfect. How has chili changed since you've been involved in it?
This goes back to the chili cook-offs. We started having contests to see who could cook the best chili. And that brings out the best recipes. And over the approximately 50 years now that that's been going on, the chili has elevated. And the makers of the commercial chili, they've had to come along with the rest of us to stay in demand, because just the bad old chili they had years ago is not going to make it right now.
So does chili have to be hot and spicy to be good?
It needs to be spicy. The hot part is up to the individual taste. There is a feeling that's going around that chili is supposed to be just as hot with the chili pepper as you can get it, and that is not true. You want it at your comfort zone, and that goes for any recipe. We want the recipe to suit you. We're not out there running a McChili's and trying to save everybody in the world. We want you and your family to be happy with the dish and stay right there.
So what's different when you're cooking chili as opposed to when you are judging in a chili competition? On the one hand, you're trying to make the best product. Then on the other side of things, you're tasting all these different fantastic or maybe not so fantastic chilies. How are those two things different? And what do you look for in a good chili when you are the judge?
We judge chili first by its appearance. Want it to have a nice reddish brown color to it, and we want the consistency. It should not be too thin or too thick. We used to use a little test there where you would see if the spoon would stand up in the bowl of chili. If it did, it was just right on the verge of being too thick, but past being too thin. And don't want pieces of unidentified matter floating around in it.
Now, how about beans? Some people put them in, some people don't. Is it right or wrong to use beans in the chili?
I would say 95% of your chili recipes call for beans. Now, here in Texas, we're different. In Texas, chili, there are no beans. You can have beans cooked on the side and served with the chili, but they cannot be cooked together.
Are there any other regional differences like that? I mean, we know Texas is different. That sort of goes without saying. But in other parts of the country, is there something you run into and you say, oh, yeah, that's from the Northeast or something like that?
Well, there are a couple of places that are, shall we say, hotbeds of chili. We've got Cincinnati. They have a big string of chili parlors up there. And what they're serving is not really chili. It's a pasta with the chili sauce on it. But they call it chili, and they're happy with it, so I'm happy for them. And then over in Illinois, we have the double L chili, which is spelled with two L's instead of just one. And it's good chili over there. But they just never did learn how to spell it correct.
Well, we're close to Illinois, so we know all about that.
So the best way I have eaten chili in my life, I'm from the Detroit area of Michigan, and we serve it on hot dogs there. No beans, of course. Coney Island dog, they call it for some reason. Hot dog, chili sauce, onions, and mustard. Is it wrong to put my chili on a hot dog?
No. Great. Let me tell you a little short story here. Back in 1977, we were working to get chili named the official dish of the state of Texas. And we were having a lot of competition from gumbo from down in southeast Texas. And someone on our side stood up and made a speech, and he said, the reason chili needs to be the dish is you can put it on a hot dog, but you can't put gumbo on a hot dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Did that happen? Did they make chili the official dish of Texas?
Chili is the official dish of the state of Texas.
Well, that is terrific news. That's good for us to know and good to keep in mind we're in Texas.
We got an awful lot of publicity on it when Lyndon Johnson was in the White House. He had chili suppers out here at the ranch, the Texas White House, and made chili very popular.
All right, John, thank you so much for sharing the chili stories with us. Really appreciate it.
I enjoyed being here. If there's anything you need to know about anything else, Texas style or Southwestern style, you've got my phone number. Just call me. If I don't have an answer, I'll make one up for you.
We like that.
Thanks a lot. That was John Raven. He's a writer for TexasCooking.com, and you can share your favorite chili recipe or tip on the Central Time Facebook page.